Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Selman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth,
Boothman!
All right, guys. Today is a very exciting day. Today is a holiday I know we all celebrate. Ladies and gentlemen,
what's the holiday?
It is Read Comics in Public Day.
Oh, weird.
Oh, wow.
That's really
our great shame can be exposed to the world. Is that the implication there?
I don't know. I think the idea is to show people, hey, there's no big deal about reading comics. Everybody reads comics. Everybody does it. For those of you at home, Pete is doing a visual joke right now.
I'm reading comics. Oh, that's hilarious.
I wonder how long you would have kept doing that without being noticed.
Probably the rest of his life.
I thought it was
I will be doing it for the rest of my life.
I thought it was read sexy comics on the subway day.
Oh.
But that I celebrate that every day.
That's awkward.
Well, you always talk about how you're reading some sort of pornographic comic on the subway, and you have to close it.
I always talk about
that. You bring it up a lot, actually.
I do bring it up a lot, but there's a lot of sexy comics out there.
In your pull list. In your pull list.
They got to be read.
That was weird.
That was his sexual tone of voice, for those of you listening at home.
Yeah. Well, someday,
you
someday,
can play that
I hope,
on loop.
We can all read whatever we want to read, wherever we want to read it.
That's a dream.
That's a dream for my kids.
Free Pussy Riot.
What? Oh.
It's topical. If you guys read other blogs.
I got to be honest. I thought you said free pussy rides, and I didn't know what that meant.
You didn't know what that meant?
I have a tattoo of that on my back. Yeah, I should show it to you guys.
On your back?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be on the front?
I don't want everybody to see it.
What?
When I'm streaking. I want people to see it as I'm leaving.
I don't want everybody to see it when you're showing your belly.
Hey, we should get the show started.
No, we're just getting into the intimate
details. We got a really good groove going.
Nope.
I don't think... Let's not start the show today.
Tell me about your topical tattoos, Pete. Oh, I know you have this tattoo in the same shape underneath this
I have the Punisher symbol. Exactly matching.
Yeah, but it's actually just shaved
all the way
down
to right here. What part of your body is that?
Let's start the show.
Okay.
He has four dangly penises.
Yeah.
Dangly.
I've always found this to be very erotic.
Anyways, we have an amazing guest tonight.
Yes, we do. Guys, he is the artist of Star Trek The Next Generation, Doctor Who from IDW Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, J.K. Woodward!
Yay!
Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Show in a stadium, and it takes 3 hours to get to the stage.
Yep.
It's quite a while.
Between Giants and Jets games.
Wow, shades on stage.
What's up, cool shades?
People don't realize how bright these are.
Well, we certainly have a cool guest tonight. This guy is cool as hell.
Yeah. What were you doing for Read Comics in Public Day? Something cool.
What could he have been doing?
Skateboarding and reading comics.
We played that joke out yet or what?
Nope.
Oh, that's not a joke?
You've never seen the show, clearly.
No.
So thanks so much for coming on. Sure. Let's talk, of course, about Star Trek, The Next Generation, Doctor Who. So we were talking...
People are reading that?
Yeah,
we were
definitely.
Talking a little bit about the process that you're using for the art. I mean, we'll get into some of the specifics beforehand in a little bit. But there's kind of an interesting process how you're approaching these issues. Can you talk about that a little bit? Or, I guess, is it just for the upcoming issues?
It's just, we're doing something new with 4, 5, and 6. Originally, we had like 6 weeks to do every issue. That's why they chose to do a painted comic. But we're dealing with two properties, both BBC and CBS. And when you're dealing with properties, you never know what's going to happen. There's constant like changes with scripts and ideas bouncing around, and everybody's involved. So we kind of went from a 6 week rotation down to a 5 week, and then to a 4 week, and then at that point we realized I needed a little help because I couldn't do a fully painted comic in 4 weeks or under.
You just need to put a brush in the other hand as well. Have you thought of that?
I was thinking of that, but I'm not the beast. I'm not quite that dexterous.
Great reference. Love it.
So we brought in Gordon Purcell, who's going to do the pencil work on 4, 5, and 6, and then I'm going to do the finished work and paint it. So it will still look like very similar art. It will still look the same. We didn't want to get an inker and a colorist because then first off, I wouldn't be involved. which
not
sucks.
A good career.
Yeah, no. And second, it would look so drastically different. So I'm just trying to take his pencils and try to make it so it's not quite a big transition, and then we're getting the book out on time. So that's what really matters.
So yeah. What has the – I mean, you touched on this a little bit, but what has the process been like working with so many people? Has it been – I mean, you probably don't want to be like, it sucks. I hate it. Take me off the book.
I'd like to keep working on Star Trek books. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's been it's like this when you work on properties because, you know, you get other people involved, other people making decisions, and quite frankly, they own the properties. They're going to be protective of it, and they want to make sure we're doing the right thing by it. And in this book, you know, what we got is two properties, and that's what makes it, you know, because you can understand what CBS wants, you know, as a writer or an artist, and you can understand what the BBC wants, but sometimes those don't mesh. Mm. And you got to find it. You're actually sometimes playing referee between the two property owners.
Because the BBC people are like, all right, we want to do this.
CBS people are like,
we're old.
Exactly. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. That's all CBS people say.
Yeah, that's literally the only thing they say.
That's all.
Very popular program.
Yeah. In the you guys 90s. Should really check it out. Would you ever consider doing a Star Trek Dr. Quinn crossover?
Where do I sign?
Well, talking about that, how does it feel to work on such a potent geek comic at combining Star Trek? The Venn diagram there is it big or little? Of those two, Star Trek, Next Generation, and Doctor Who.
Yeah, there's actually, just to be clear about the Venn diagram of it, it's two gigantic nerdy circles that are the same circle except for Justin.
Yeah, I'm the only one.
You're pretty much
here's the thing, I'm a huge Star Trek Next Generation fan. Doctor Who, never touch the stuff. Can I say that?
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. All right, what, well, you've never seen either one of those shows.
That's actually rare. That's
I know, and I don't know why. Most when people, I was a kid, yeah. I watched some Canadian television. This may be why. I grew up in upstate New York near Canada, and we would get Doctor Who on like a French from Montreal Canadian station.
What?
And so the show back then was terrifying. It was like, it was
it,
all
it
that.
It was called Doctor Who.
Is that the Tom Baker
right?
ones? Or? Yeah.
I didn't do a lot of internet research as a child.
Scarf, hat, curly hair?
Yeah.
Is it that? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Baker.
And like a lot of robots that look scary. Well done. And then it was also in French, so it was extra scary.
French
is
scary?
That makes things extra scary that it's in French?
I mean, now I get the language and the people, but back then I didn't. So
you were
like maybe
what's
that
all these
up.
Baguettes that scared me?
Right, you should go to France. It's more than
it's
that.
It's just baguettes.
So I guess from me, it's I'm a weirdo then. So there's a great Venn diagram.
Were you a fan of both properties when you got into this?
Oh, yeah. And, for the longest time, I thought maybe I was the only one that was not a fan of, you know, but that was a fan of both because I didn't realize it was such a crossover. A lot of Doctor Who fans are also Star Trek fans and vice versa. I thought
Trek was pretty popular.
Well, I mean, these were two colossal sci-fi shows that both started in the 60s and have had, like, a long continuity. So it's actually shouldn't be surprising that be fans of both. But I thought, like, you know, the Atlantic Ocean's kind of big, you know, so maybe not a lot of people were watching. England's a far away, you know, and there wasn't until recently except for in the 70s with the Fourth Doctor, there wasn't much Doctor Who unless you went look for it. You know, where Star Trek, they were just shoving that down our throats. It was everyone. So,
hell yeah.
And for you, I mean, I guess I don't know what period you're most a bigger fan of, but there's the Star Trek Next Generation Doctor Who crossover. But you also, I think it was the last issue, got to draw Tom Baker crossing over with the original series crew.
There was that, which was great. I actually didn't do the flashbacks that had Thomas Baker. And I was a little bummed out about that, but I got to do the cover, which was a lot of fun. You know, drawing Spock together with Thomas Baker. But even before that, in the first issue, I wanted to get Thomas Baker in there somewhere because that was the first Doctor I watched. That was my Doctor. Whenever I think of Doctor Who, I think of him. Not necessarily my favorite, but that'll always be my Doctor. So I put little Tom Baker Easter eggs in there. And when they went back in time and they were in, like, say, San Francisco in the 30s, they're walking down the streets and they walk past 4th Street and behind it is Thomas's Bakery. You know, so little Fourth Doctor Thomas Baker jokes.
I bet
jokes
Tom Baker like, Easter eggs are the hardest ones to find. I bet they are in the world. Even harder than the White House.
Yeah. I was hoping, since they're in San Francisco, that maybe, like in the past, that there'd be some sort of baby whale, right?
Oh. Yeah. I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh, come on.
For some reason, I think this is the... you're talking about Star Trek 4.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were making a Doctor Who reference.
No. Nuclear vessels.
Star Trek 4, remember? Where'd we park? Oh, man. This is the geekiest show we've ever done, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Boy.
No, it's funny.
Any
it's
second.
Very...
Wait, can we move on and talk about Settlers of Catan real
yeah.
quick?
Oh, wow.
No!
What?
Oh, sorry. The whole rest of the world just killed themselves just saying that. It's funny that we're talking about this geeky stuff, but it's like interviewing a cop on beat with you with those sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Like,
turn the lights down.
No.
These are stage lights, my friend.
Deal with it.
They're brutal.
I think this is pretty well-covered territory, but I'm curious to hear your take on it. You, in order to draw these characters, you need to submit for likeness rights, right? They have to go by the actors themselves. Is that correct?
I think so. The process as I do it is I just draw it like a regular comic, paint it, send it in, and then hear back changes.
Tell us about all the paperwork you have to do before you do it.
We're big paperwork fans.
That's the exciting part, yeah.
Yeah. Contract nuts.
No, I just draw a comic and send it in. They come back at the end of the month with all the changes. And there hasn't been that much because I do painted likenesses and I try to keep it spot on. But every once in a while they'll say... They come up with stupid shit sometimes, to be honest. They come up with stuff like Matt Smith looks too pale.
Yeah. Cole
is pale.
Cole Meany called and he doesn't want to be. He wants to be on Deep Space Nine continuity, not fucking transport.
They would cross over Deep Space Nine and Dr. Quinn, I think.
That's awesome.
That would work.
They can go back in time, too. I was talking about this the other day. Not this is totally off topic, but Data.
Oh, yeah.
When they cast Data, they were like, we need someone that looks like an android, like a robot. Let's choose the doughiest actor we can find, the fletchiest Brent Spiner dude to be a robot in the future.
You think when they were casting, they were like, get me some sort of Brent Spiner dude?
No. Well, that's why he landed the job. It's the only reason I can see how I landed the job.
Some sort of Brent Spiner type.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't get nailed any of like, these.
You know, what was his last role before that? He was like on Night Court playing like a hillbilly, right?
Night Court. Remember, now we're talking.
Remember Night Court?
Bull Shannon. All right, let's do this.
I would love to see it. Yeah. What about a Night Court Dr. Quinn crossover?
Night Court Dr. Dre, maybe.
They got to reboot Night Court, make it more gritty.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be great.
Christopher Nolan, Night Court Rises.
What's coming up for the series? What can you tease, if anything?
Yeah, I got to be really careful about what I talk about. But
no, just spoil all of it.
Okay, well, there's going to be Borg and Cybermen in it.
Cool.
That's about all I can say.
Yeah. Actually, I'm curious. Is it tough to draw the Borg? I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but there's so many intricate parts.
The Cybermen are a lot easier.
I mean, the
Borg are a lot easier. Cybermen are a lot harder because they're so symmetrical and it's very specific how they're supposed to look. The Borg, you can just make shit up. I mean, they're just a bunch of hoses, black hoses on spandex.
They're hoses. Like, yeah. It's all fluids to those dudes.
I don't know what these hoses do, but, you know, they're covered with them. So.
Oh, moves like pus from one their brain to their foot and stuff. Borg, they're doughy. They are doughy people.
Way too much pus in my brain.
I need some more in my feet.
Yeah. Foot pus, that's their weakness.
What else is coming up for you? I know you're working on a number of different projects as well as this comic.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm busy with just this until middle of November. But then I'm going to be doing some of my own properties. I'm going to be working with Chris Roberson and Monkey Brain Comics.
Nice.
Yeah. And working with writer Chris Kopiniak. I think he did some Marvel work, some like Marvel Adventures. And,
yeah, we had him on the show, probably like one of our first shows ever.
Yeah.
You never got him to shut up, did you?
Chatty dude.
Yeah. Chatty
Kathy. I actually run into him doing it because he does a little bit of like comedy in the city as well. I run into him every now and again.
He does the acting thing too. So
I have an act. I do an
and one other thing, actually, we're going to be giving away some of your art tonight, which you've been so kind to donate. That's
awesome. It's really awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
I want to go on record as I tried to steal some of Zalvin, busted me. He was like, "No, it's for the audience members."
Yeah, no. Actually, what you did was so we have two covers over there to mock up.
And you tried to sneak. Who I walk away with one of them?
Can't wait to give away the stuff. And one of them was just missing. Yeah. It just was not there.
That's called stealing.
Because I figured if Zalbin didn't remember that it was there, it's not stealing.
Yeah.
It never existed.
And I am a big advocate of thievery, so it doesn't matter what I think.
The greatest trick Pete ever played was that stupid trick he just did.
Yeah.
Well done.
Great. Wow, so many references.
Yeah,
so
nonstop. Welcome
references.
To our show.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stats.
Woo!
All right. In the stats. stack. We're going to talk about some comics that we particularly liked or maybe didn't like a little bit and chat about them. First thing, big issue came out this past week, Scout, number 60.
Last issue.
This is the last issue of a long-running series. Now, I just wanted to ask you guys, I haven't read the previous 59 issues.
It's actually a great jumping-on issue.
It's a great jumping-on point.
Good.
You've never read one of the other issues.
No,
Pete and I have been raving about this comic book for literally years.
I've read a bunch.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Well, you guys who have more religiously read the book, what do you think? Was it a good ending to the series?
Yeah, it really was. I mean,
yeah.
It's...
yeah, Alex.
Yeah,
It was.
Sorry.
This is really the last
Jason
one?
Jason Naren did an amazing job. Yeah, it's his final issue. Right,
right there. Jason Naren did an amazing job with this.
Really creative, really well done, heartbreaking at times, really gross, really amazing. The art was phenomenal.
Art really represented
the piece and the writing so well. It was dark but beautiful at the same time. It was an amazing story. And I was very happy with this ending. Sometimes when you have a project that you love so much, you worry about the ending, you're like, because a bad ending can ruin everything before it. But I think it did.
Everything?
Everything, sure, yeah.
That's not necessarily true, unless you're making a quiche.
What, like quiche?
Or a souffle.
Would ruin all food before that? I don't know.
No, it would ruin the whole thing.
Oh. All food?
Yeah.
Because if you overcook a quiche or a souffle, it sucks.
I didn't know you were so...
I'm a classically trained cook.
Yeah. What about you, Justin? What did you think?
Great. This whole series is very, very good, and the art is fantastic. It's very dense. Having read all of the issues, I still was like, oh, what? Who is that guy? It's very dense.
Did he do?
So I want to go back and reread everything, because he definitely touches...
That's kind of good when you want to go back and reread everything.
Yeah, yeah. He goes back and touches... Like, you want to go back and recook a quiche. He goes back and sort of touches most of the characters from the series and sort of show where they end up. And it's just a great comic. Jason Aaron doesn't, like on so many comics when they end, there's a page of like, it's been great working on it. Nothing. He's just like, I'm done with this. Let's move on to other stuff.
Yeah. I will say, as a non-regular reader of the series, whenever I have picked up an issue, always like the art, Jason Aaron, reliable, excellent writer. And I was able to pretty much follow what's going on here just from the couple of issues I have read. Obviously not a good jumping on point. There was one giant missed opportunity, I felt like, though.
Okay. There's a point. How dare you?
There's a point in the middle of the comic book where there's this final fight happening between the main character and I assume the main bad guy over the course of the series.
Way to make an assumption, yeah. Alex.
The main character actually lays him down on the floor and he scalps him and he holds up his scalp.
And there's
a silent panel and he just screams and it's silent. And why wouldn't you have him yell, "Scalped!" You know?
Yeah,
good point.
Real good, Jason Aaron. Real good.
A+, Alex Zalman. You should have been writing this.
You really
so glad you weren't writing this.
You really get the power of a comic that's been building toward one thing for 60 issues.
Yep.
And you don't co-opt it at all or slash ruin it.
Well, it's like with Saga. The last issue is going to be like, this has been quite the saga.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I know. Great. Man, you are an amazing Spider-Man.
The end. Yeah. All right, speaking of Amazing Spider-Man, let's move on to the next comic we're going to talk about. Amazing Spider-Man number 692 from Marvel Comics. You got to get that cold looked at, dude.
I'm trying to get rid of it. Right?
By drinking more beer, staying out late and partying all the time?
Oh, grandson's medicine, they call it, beer.
You got to talk to your grandma or something.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Amazing Spider-Man 692.
Let's talk about the series.
Love Dan Slott in the series. This issue, we're getting introduced to Spidey's new sidekick, Alpha, and the...
Is that a blonde douchebag?
Yeah, he's a blonde douchebag. Basically, he has all the power and no responsibility is the way that it's pitched.
Right. Yep.
I thought this issue was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Pete, I think you probably agree and didn't focus on one particular tiny little thing in the issue.
Yeah, how they tried to just slide MJ into the comic and not say anything about it, like they're just together all of a sudden, like this whole fucking shit didn't happen and like it's totally cool and we should just focus on Alpha being a douchebag and not pay attention to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you even talking about?
Talking about the fact that he was just, you know, sitting with MJ like they were in a relationship.
Who is Mary Jane? Is she, no, it's just a girl, a redheaded girl in this comic. Yeah. I don't know what the implication there is. Or are they going to date, you think? Because I love new characters.
It would be great.
Oh, why? Does that aggravate you?
Yeah, it bothers me a lot.
Because a lot of people have, oh, I don't know, let it go, the whole Mary Jane thing.
Oh, really? So maybe after over the past, what has it been, 15 years?
Yep.
Yeah. Not I think she appeared in Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Yeah.
And they briefly dated and then moved on. Yeah. And the devil was like, well, I don't know. And then we just saw more comic book.
What did you think about this comic?
Yeah, clearly Dan Slott is setting up a Spider-Man retrospective, having this character sort of get all this power in the exact same way, but be a dick about it. It's a little bit, it strikes me as a little gimmicky, but I feel like Dan Slott takes simple things and makes them complex in a good way, so I think he will do that. The covers, there are a lot of alternate amazing covers Marcos Martin did.
The art's amazing.
Is just amazing.
This is a little bit in the future. I don't know if you guys have seen Humberto Ramos's cover for Amazing Spider-Man 700, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Do it justice.
Oh, my God. No,
how
it's
have you
just
seen that?
He created the... It's online.
Yeah.
It's online for literally anybody.
I thought it was
download.
One of your secret little connections.
No, no, no. My secret connection room. Called logging onto the internet.
Yeah. Well, Pete forgot his Prodigy password, so he can't get it. So there's a real barrier for him to see all this
it's
stuff.
It's Spider-Man's eye made out of hundreds, maybe thousands of tiny little pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He basically made a collage from pretty
really
much every issue of Spider-Man. And then the black is Venom, and then the white is every single other character in Spider-Man's life.
I gotta check out this internet.
That's just one of millions of things you might enjoy.
You gotta
on
check
the
it out a keyword Spider-Man.
All right.
There we go. All right, let's move on to next comic.
Hey, you guys didn't even talk about the Dean Hospital story. Here.
Which is actually great.
Yeah, it was kind of a cool, like...
Yeah, I don't know. Beep.
You get
hey,
me?
Is the volume on?
There we go. We're on.
Right yeah, we're on. Am
check,
I on?
Check. Yeah.
I don't hear me.
No?
Yeah,
no.
You're on.
We're
you're
hot.
Oh,
we're hot.
Okay.
Mics.
All right. I don't know what's going on. Tech.
Just edit that from your brain.
But it was, yeah, it was kind of a cool story.
Anytime someone says Dean Hospital on the show, everything shuts down.
Yeah.
It's a weird...
Don't talk about
it. No, go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, it was just kind of neat. It was just, you know, that scene where the costume's in the trash, and this crook just kind of walks by and sees the costume and goes, eh, why not?
Yeah.
Puts it on, and it's just Spider-Man with a gun robbing a pawn shop and liquor store. And
kind of a, oh, yeah, and it's really,
really touching ending.
Ending.
I'm so surprised how sad it got right away. It was like, this is a fun romp.
This is a great comic. There's a lot of stuff going on. Check it out. Let's move on. Next comic we're going to talk about, new comic this week, Justice League number 12.
It doesn't come
next
out week. Till tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, so we're going to keep it spoiler-free. But
we are?
Yes, we are. Pete.
Pete.
So, probably shouldn't mention that there might be something going on between Superman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that wouldn't be on the cover or anything. Yeah, obviously the big news about this is Superman and Wonder Woman, they're going to date.
Well, Pete. One kiss doesn't mean date.
Well, sure it does.
Not in the real world. They're not in high school, right?
Yeah. K-I-S-S-I-N-G, first comes love, then comes marriage, etc.
Oh, I know that was what you chose to do. Like, but that's not true. That's not like a...
First time I kissed Wonder Woman, we got married.
Yeah.
Me and that comic
then comes the baby
happily.
In the baby carriage.
Yep.
Anyways, this comic really
this
sucked. Yeah.
Whoa!
I don't want Superman and Wonder Woman to get together.
You just hate intimacy.
They're very strong.
Yeah.
They have a lot
of
women.
Lois Lane, for Christ's sakes.
Who's she? What's the deal? Who's this Lane chick?
She was that black girl.
And Wonder
girl.
Woman just broke Wonder up Woman. With Steve, and then she's like, you know, come on.
Come on?
Yeah, like what?
Come on. Come on, says Pete. Wonder Woman, come on. Girl, come on.
Get
says Pete LePage. Get with it, girl. Come on. Well, Pete, I don't know. In the world, like, things happen. They're seeing new people. It may work out.
Very upset.
What do you think about this? Should Superman and Wonder Woman date?
I honestly don't care less. I mean, I had no reaction to this news when I heard it on the notes.
They've kissed a lot, right? There's been a lot of comic books where they've
so
kissed.
So does everybody who's there. And you
well,
work
it,
with.
It already happened in, like, DK, too. So.
Hold on. What?
Like, you kissed people. It happens.
What?
Where you work?
Yeah, not
you're
here.
You're mostly in all-guy comedy groups.
No. In the heat it's of the true. Moment, and just, like, careful, stay
get
away.
Get away from me. I don't like how you're looking at me now.
Yeah. Well, it's
guys,
actually...
You guys wouldn't remember this, but you actually sold your marriage to me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys should know Pete and I were married.
Right.
We're married. We were Jedi married on this show about a year ago. It has
Happy
not been going well.
Yeah.
What did you get me?
Yeah. What did you think about this book, though? Justice League number 12.
Oh, it was. It's sort of bringing the first year to a close in a way, but it's sort of a. I don't know. It's sort of a
bummer.
It was
a lot of talking. It was a lot of talk.
Jim Lee is still very good with the art, but it's very, very expository.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exposition going
on here. You were saying some earlier, and we cut you off. I didn't want to.
Oh, I was just saying they had already gotten together in, like, was it Dark Knight 2? And that was really good. So this, what could go wrong?
It's like Dark Knight 3.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, this book is Dark Knight 3, says Alex Albin.
Come on, Wonder Woman.
It's come on.
Come on.
All right. Come on.
All right, let's move on to the next book we're going to talk about. Another book coming out this week, Avenging Spider-Man number 11 from Marvel Comics. This is by Zeb Wells, art by Steve Dillon, and it's the team-up you've all been demanding, Peter Parker and Aunt May.
Chilling
in that fun place in the cemetery.
Before we get to Cranky LePage, I really like this issue a lot. I thought there was great emotion in it, some actually great twists and surprises throughout, and some really well-laid-out sequences. I know you had some problems with it, though, Pete.
Right. Well, first of all, really powerful issue, amazing writing. I think Steve Dillon's art is great, but here I think it's a little weird because Aunt May, there were times where she's looking happy, but because of his art, she looks like super creepy. And there's a lot of facial stuff that I think with Dillon's art, it comes off a little weird.
Everyone over 60 is creepy at different points.
Yeah. Really?
So, I mean, look him in the eyes.
I will say, it flashes back and forth. It goes to modern sequences, to sequences in the past. And the sequences of the past, I think he does a much better job with both Peter and Aunt May.
Yeah.
In the modern era, she looks a little boxy and a little strange. But I think the writing is spot on. And for an issue where it's basically just the two of them talking, it stands up with, Amazing Spider-Man 38 and Ultimate Spider-Man 111 or whatever it was, where same thing, where they're just kind of talking.
The last panel was amazing, really powerful, well done. But, like, just a couple looks where I was like,
well, and this I feel like, especially reading it alongside Amazing Spider-Man, this seemed like a real issue that takes the whole Spider-Man mythos and sort of puts it in a really nice spot. Though one thing I think is a little too much, every time we see Aunt May lately in Spider-Man comics, she's like, I've been having sex. And like every once in a while I get it, she just got married, that's cool, that's great.
Yeah, what's your
but
problem,
But literally
Justin?
Every time she's like, well, it's quite a fancy night we're having. And it's like, and even Peter in this is like, cool it, AMA. Like, I don't need to hear about this. And she's like, just one more thing. And then she says one more thing. And he's like, and then it just cuts away. And I was just like, too much.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the stack. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Booth Bay. Now, before we get into that, a couple of things that I want to mention while Boothman's getting set up over there. No, that's fine.
That's great.
Thank you.
Perfectly timed.
Yes. So we have a couple of pieces. We have a couple of pieces that we're going to give away to the first couple of question askers and then some free comics. And your favorite question, whatever the best question is at the end, is going to win some bonus art. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Nice.
So let's get the first question, please.
Yeah, you win. They win the art that I wanted to steal.
Yes.
So good.
That's how good it is.
Yeah.
Wow. Pete Trixie LePage wanted to steal
it. Trixie.
Come on. Come on, Alex.
Come on, Alex.
So I guess the person who wrote this question was like, man, this show is not going to be geeky enough, so I'm going to make it geekier.
That's a challenge we issue every week.
So let me get to it. Who would make a better companion for the Doctor?
Yeah.
Did you write this question?
Yeah.
Alex Albin.
Yeah. Wesley Crusher or C-3PO and R2-D2?
Okay. A companion. What is that? That's cool.
That's like...
That's a cool idea.
The companion
like
is
a
like
buddy.
The person who sucks your dick, right?
What?
Boothman!
Is that... No? No, am I wrong? I'm
sorry. Definitely Wesley Crusher.
Yeah. If you've ever watched Doctor Who, you know, he comes, he meets a guy, and he's like, you go and suck me dick! Just like that. Just like a chimney sweep.
That's how English people talk.
Right. Sweep your flu. That's the Doctor's catchphrase.
For yeah. sucking your dick.
And it's a euphemism.
Oh, great. This is great. This turned really
okay,
well.
Okay, so
answer the question?
Yeah. I don't know. I would probably rather see C-3PO and R2-D2, but it just in general, I'd rather see C-3PO and R2-D2. Sorry, Wesley Crusher in the audience.
I think Wesley works better because he's human, and I don't remember him ever having a, well, except for K-9.
K-9, right?
Yeah, K-9. So, yeah, no, C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. All right, you are going to win
I don't want to be a droidist.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to win some free art. And
wait, you haven't given Pete a chance to answer.
Oh, yeah, Pete, what's your answer?
Yeah, whatever. I wanted to say you do get to, because we're talking about friends, one of the ult surprises is a book called My Friend Dahmer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is about a guy that went to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer, and it's actually really good.
Oh,
all right.
That.
Let's get the next question, please.
Are painted comics more expressive than penciled or inked comics?
Ooh. Fight, fight, fight.
Who's fighting here?
JK, you should answer, maybe.
It depends on how you do them, but I mean, sometimes it can be the other way. They can be less expressive if you're doing photorealism. It's hard to do some of the... you do certain distortions with anatomy and certain distortions with perspective and stuff to give the illusion of movement. And when you do that with a photorealistic painting, it just looks like deformed arms and stuff. I mean, so it depends on the style of painting. Certainly somebody like Sienkiewicz, I would say that's more expressive because you can just go crazy and it works. Somebody like Alex Ross has more trouble with movement than, say, somebody like Kirby that can do just like the crazy distorted perspectives. So I don't have an answer for that.
Great.
There you go.
Here, right, awesome. Remember back in our youth when Marvel Masterworks came out? Weren't they the ones that were all painted?
No.
About trading cards?
Masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
No, Marvels.
Marvels. That's what it was. By the Hildebrandt brothers? Is that?
No, wasn't that Alex Ross?
That was Alex Ross.
No, there was one something Hildebrandt brothers. They were all painted trading cards. I guess I don't remember what it was.
The trading cards.
Yeah, trading cards. Masterpiece, yeah. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
I don't think you do.
You said Marvel Masterworks, so you don't know what you're talking about. That's
a few letters different.
Fight, 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 fight.
When those trading cards came out, I remember everyone, all the other geeks I knew were like over the fucking moon. They were like, you believe this shit? It's Black Cat painted. And I was like, you have no appreciation for any art, and you just are going crazy for this tiny card of Black Cat. So I think painted's more expressive. Based on that.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that.
That was a long way to go for just painted.
Yeah. Well, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free art and also a copy of 100 Bullets, apparently.
Nice.
There you go. Let's get the next question, please.
That's it.
All right. So the tagline for Avengers in Japan is, and I quote, "Japan, this is a movie," and it created outrage. Any thoughts?
You're talking about like the movie poster tag.
Yeah, people were upset because they felt like American cinema was insulting Japanese cinema and being like, "Forget all of your movies,
Kurosawa. Who?
This is a real movie."
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they're right.
Wow.
And that answers that question.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, they're saying it's the biggest movie of all time, and it is. So take that, Japan.
Wow. You would beat Japan.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to...
What if I brought you a VHS tape and I was like, Alex, grow up and watch this. And
of,
I threw it in
is
your
it
face.
Of Avengers?
Maybe.
Then yeah. That's a movie. There's your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free art and some sort of comic books that Pete's going to hand you. Let's get the next question, please.
Do you think there will ever be a Star Trek, Star Wars crossover?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, and I hope... Yeah, somebody already... Who groaned?
Oh, come on.
Here's my idea.
Yeah.
The Borg try to do some temporal place Star Trek technobabble here, and they end up making this wormhole that sends them to a galaxy far, far away a long, long time ago. And then they run into the Empire, and they try to assimilate him. And Darth Vader fucks him up and takes him over, and then he has a Borg army.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That's intense.
I like it.
And then he kills the Emperor, and he's like the God Emperor of all the universe.
Approved.
So why is there such a rivalry between Star Trek and Star Wars?
Oh, the word star.
Yeah, right? Is that the only reason?
Yeah, that's literally the only
reason. You can like both of them, right?
No, I like both of them.
Yeah, I like
certainly do like both of them.
No, you can't like both of them.
I can't?
It's illegal.
I think it probably, if anything, it comes down to Star Trek is supposed to be more science-based and Star Wars is more fantasy-based. So,
well, it's not supposed to be. That's what it is.
Right.
I
mean, it's
just, I don't know. Star Trek is 1 second more science-based than Star Wars.
I wouldn't say that. I think they don't really worry about the science in Star Wars. I think they're just having fun with it.
Well, I mean, that's true. Like,
well, what about testing for midichlorians? That's scientific.
Yeah, that's true. All right,
this is really getting out of hand.
Definitely.
Or is it getting into hand?
It's going to turn into a brawl up here.
Into hand is getting. I don't know what we're doing. All right, raise your hand if you asked that.
What Star Trek character was that?
That was Wesley Crusher.
Nice.
All right, raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some art, get some comics, and let's get the next question.
Who asked that question?
Spot on, Will Wheaton.
All right, next question. 52 weeks later, what surprises or disappointments or disappoints you about a year of the new 52?
Wow.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's as of August 31st, that's when Justice League number one came out, Flashpoint number five. That was the end of the DC Universe as we know it. Yeah. So what have you been particularly excited about? Let's start with that. Have you been reading any of them, JK?
I started a couple titles, but I had to drop off when I started working on the crossover because it's been taking all my time. So sure. I'm like 6 months behind on it. So I can't really comment on this question.
What were you into when you were reading it?
I was actually just reading Justice League and Detective. And those were the two titles. I liked.
Yeah,
and Detective. Everything else.
Yeah, Detective was great.
Yeah, no, I really think good. It's. I mean, Batman gets so much press.
Yeah.
I think.
What do you? What about you guys? What do you think? What's been surprising?
Yeah, I mean, the Scott Snyder and Batman has just been unbelievable.
Yeah.
But
that was good. That was good before, yeah.
But, I mean, and then, you know, the worst part for me was the ruining of Jonah Hex. You know, just
oh, my God.
That was just...
Yeah, they took Jonah Hex and continued to write Jonah Hex.
Yeah, in relatively the same way.
No, it's completely
wait,
different.
Wait, you're right. They did change the title.
Thank
yes,
you.
That's right.
And he did write into a city. Which,
yeah,
you know, that
he was
ruined.
In Gotham. Then he was a it was bullshit.
You're crazy.
Yeah. You're crazy.
Yeah,
I would say
both Flash and Batgirl have gotten exponentially better over the course of the past year. I started out reading them, wanting to like them and not being crazy about them, but they've gotten better and better and better.
Wonder Woman's been amazing.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's been pretty solid throughout.
Yep, Swamp Thing, Animal Man, obviously very
Animal
good throughout.
Man was a big surprise to me.
Yeah, very good. Sort of a slowdown in the middle, but they're just coming up in a big crossover fun thing. I've liked Legion Lost. I've been reading that. I don't know.
You're the only one reading.
I'm not the only one. There's one or two other people.
No more comics. Oh my God! All right.
But so I think it's funny. Like to sort of finish up. We've talked only positive things. Justice League, I thought was going to be more of a bigger title that like was really going to be the flagship book, and I feel like it's sort of just like where all the characters hang out. Like it's not really driving the universe forward, which I thought it would be. Green Lantern's been
I think
sort
it's getting
of off.
Back there though. I mean both of them, they're realigning them. Starting in the next year, you're going to have
Once Superman's making out with Wonder Woman, that's really.
Right. Well, they're leading towards a big crossover there. They're leading towards a big Green Lantern crossover, so that's the stuff that's going on. We have any more questions, we can do it as a lightning round. Any more?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Well, that's information light.
Let's do it quick. Spot. So first answer is always correct.
What crazy crossover would you like to see next? Smurfs meet MacGyver?
Yeah.
All right, great.
Wow.
All right, next question.
What would they talk about?
Smurfing.
What would they?
Yeah, Smurfin and Paperclips. I don't know.
Yeah.
What DC 52 title do you think needs work to get better?
Oh, all the ones we just didn't say. Can we say that? Is that a fair answer?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. How can I become a comic artist? Real quick, let's do it.
Officer Woodward? Officer Woodward?
Time, work, and sacrifice is the short answer.
Yeah, sacrifice. Do some sacrifices.
I would say draw more.
Satanic sacrifices.
Draw on satanic sacrifices. Draw Satan.
And sell your marriage
and
to Satan.
And more honestly, bring your portfolio to a convention and get it reviewed by some people at the different places.
Yeah, but make sure you drew something first.
Yeah.
Don't show up with a pencil.
This is my potential.
No, I mean, it'd be like, what should I draw?
This, it's all in here.
Yeah, very philosophical.
Yes.
It's all in this pencil. Whoops. Snap.
Wow.
Next.
So we gotta pick, we got to pick a favorite question.
Just come relax.
On. One more.
One more, Pete.
Hey.
Yeah, calm down, Pete.
Pete.
Picky Pete.
Picky Pete.
Picky Pete. Picky Cranky Pete.
All right, last one. Assuming superpowers develop at puberty, obviously, how awkward would your childhood be at Metropolis Public School growing up in a crypto Amazon home?
Whoa, that question got real crazy.
I'm glad we waited for that one.
Well, that's why
so
I put...
Superman, Wonder Woman, they fuck, they have a kid. This kid's going to school and it's puberty and he's like flying but only a little bit and he's farting too. It's weird. What? How's that?
What sort of fart puberty did you go to school? Yeah.
I don't want to talk.
Yeah, that came on later, like right now in my life. Well, I've delayed my puberty till I'm waiting for my
powers. That was your superpower. You never went through puberty. Yeah.
A lot of people don't call it a superpower, but you're right.
Yeah. What is the question? Yeah, does that answer your question? It would be real cool.
Great.
Speaking of cool, do you want to choose a favorite question out of all those questions? Something you particularly liked?
I'm tempted to just pick that last one, just because I didn't know adolescence was all about farting, but just for the answer. I'll take that last one.
Yeah, so raise your hand if you ask that. And what are they going to win? What are you giving away here?
You get a page from... is it that one? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, it's... Okay, these are the preliminaries. These are the designs for the cover of the last
issue. Give it to him, Pete. Pete.
There are three of them, not two of them. Nice try.
Well, almost got away with it in front of the live studio audience.
All right, that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, very briefly, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Oh.
And in The Week in Geek,
In
The Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some other geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere. First thing, Ben Affleck off the Justice League movie, not that he was ever on, the Wachowskis may be on the Justice League movie. What do you guys think about that? Good pick?
Yeah.
I mean, first
Speed Racer was a perfect...
I'll point out, one of the cool things about having the Wachowskis on it, it'll be the first time a woman is directing a superhero movie.
You know, that's mean.
What?
That's mean.
Is it?
Yes, that is mean, huh?
It's not mean.
It's true.
It's true.
That's not the story here, Alex.
I think that's the story I'm pushing.
Yeah, I know why.
That's my agenda.
Think of all the work that Ben Affleck probably put into the Justice League movie, and he was so quickly taken off.
Yeah.
He probably wrote down a couple things on a napkin at a bar or something.
It's he probably rumors. Called up Matt. He was like, "Hey, you want to be on my Justice League movie, there?"
Oh, you Mayor Quimby?
That's really good.
You have such a backlog.
Ben Affleck.
First the English accent, then the Boston. You're like the linguist here.
I know. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Real cipher.
Good at that.
Thank you, guys. Finally.
Great idea.
Cool. Next thing to talk about, great weekend on Twitter for the comic book community, where Rob Liefeld quit DC Comics
last week,
and then tore into everybody on Twitter, in particular Scott Snyder.
Who berated him.
Yeah, who berated him.
Berated him.
And then people came to Scott's defense.
Well, did you guys hear the story?
What bad thing could you say about Scott Snyder?
Well, listen, here.
He's an amazing writer.
He's going to give the
rundown. What happened is Rob Liefeld was tweeting a bunch of wild shit, and he was sort of saying Batman would always sell no matter what. Scott Snyder direct messaged him on Twitter, which I'll explain to you after the show, Pete. And it's like sending an email, basically. And in it he said...
it's like telling somebody in person.
What?
Right. He doesn't know what email is.
Yeah. And so so he was direct messaging him saying, well, Batman, are you making fun of me? He's like, Batman wouldn't be anything without Greg and I on it.
He addressed him as Batman?
No, he said, Batman wouldn't be anything without Greg and I on it.
Well, he didn't exactly say that. He just said, we're the reason it's doing good numbers, not just because of the character.
But in general, he was taking a little bit credit.
Taking a little credit, weird. Yeah.
And so
it's due. It's
just relax, listen. So then they had a big exchange. Then it bled over onto Rob Liefeld started tweeting about what Scott Snyder said. Then took a picture of the direct messages and put that on his Twitter feed, and everyone went crazy. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
The funny thing about that is he said, "Look, he's berating me." And then he showed a snapshot of the DM, and it was pretty much Scott Snyder saying, "What are you pissed at me? What the fuck? What's going on? What the fuck?" It was just him saying "What the fuck" the whole time, and Liefeld kind of losing his mind
what it looked like.
Well, what do you think, as a comics professional on Twitter, what do you think is what do you think is the role of Twitter in
fights?
Relating Twitter to the comic book industry.
Well, I know you definitely don't want to tweet drunk, and you only learned that lesson three times. Because stuff like that happens.
Yeah, you only learn that three times until the fourth time you do it.
Yeah. We'll see what I say tonight.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, I just use Twitter for promoting, and I try not to, you know, like, what happens in the offices with your editors and stuff, you don't go on Twitter and talk about that. I think that's a little out of line, you know, because it has to be like a trust between an editor and the talent. And you don't want to go, you know, talk shit just because you had a fight with your editor.
Will he ever work in this town again?
Of course. Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did think it was funny. Scott Snyder did tweet, wow, these tweets are the best thing you've written all year.
Which
I thought was good. And then Rob Liefeld said, yeah, it's because I don't have an editor, which I thought was a pretty good comeback.
Then
Scott Snyder said, well, let's see what comes out of the pouch or something like that in reference to Rob Liefeld's pouch affinity.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he tweeted some feet, but they looked terrible.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nobody knew what they were.
Just cut off at the ankles.
That's it for the Week of Geek. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPage.
All right, guys, we're going to get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free, as well as the last amazing piece of artwork on the table. All we need is one great volunteer. Yes, you first hand up guy. Come on down.
Fully painted, colored page from the issue that actually comes out tomorrow.
Yeah. It's a really good.
Okay. What's your name, sir?
My name is Nat.
Way to bring your drink, Nat.
Audience Nat.
Hey,
Nat. Hey.
Have some refreshment while you're up.
All right. So,
throw some beats on those headphones.
All right. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3, and gift card is yours, okay, as well as the amazing artwork. All right? So today's trivia is on Assimilation 2, the Star Trek and Doctor Who project that he's been working on. Right, thank you, Boothman. Here we go. Question number one. In the Ultimate Showdown, Cyberman faces off against who? Is it A, Borg, B, Picard, or is it C, Lou Ferrigno? So it's either A, which he said was right earlier in the show, or it's not the other one.
I'm going to go A.
A is correct.
Did you say Captain Jean-Luc Picard?
Picard?
Yeah.
I've been drinking. Okay.
B, Picard.
All right. Here we go. Question number two. Matt Smith's Blake. Doctor. Is it A, the 10th Doctor? Is it B, the 11th Doctor? Or is it C, Doc Hollywood?
B, the 11th
Doctor. B is correct!
Woo! He doesn't even need a hint.
Yeah, watch Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Okay, in this Doctor Who / Star Trek world, what is the proper saying? Is it A, resistance is useless? B, resistance is futile? Or is it C, Ray's stance? Ghostbusters.
Yeah!
Nailed it.
It's not a saying.
You know, but he, Ray's stance, get resistance. Resistance is useless, or B, resistance is futile.
Yeah, B, resistance.
Yeah,
resistance.
Here you go. $25 free, sir, and I'll get you the artwork.
Nice job.
Awesome. Good job. Okay, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is a new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. And Pete LaPage, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Debris number 2, this amazing... Debris, as I like to call it. Fantastic kind of indie project you should check out.
What's it about?
Oh, man, it's about this future, right? Where this planet is like a junkyard. Oh, man. But there's bad guys, but then there's good guys, but they all kind of look the same. It's really tough and confusing. But it's this girl, and she's like whooping ass.
Oh, thanks, 10-year-old. I'm looking
for... I'm older than 10 because I can drink.
Yeah, oh, good. That sounds like what a 10-year-old would say. I'm looking forward to The Flash Annual number 1. The Flash has been great, especially this last issue that came out last week. By Francis Monopole. Very good. Who
celebrated
his
belated birthday?
Before, to give you guys a little insider here, Pete before the show was like, "Well, we could talk about the big news of Francis Monopole's birthday," and we were like, "What's the story there, Pete? What's the real birthday news?" And Pete was like, "It's his birthday." So I'm glad we got to it.
Cool. Thanks
glad
for
we covered
up
that big story, the newsroom on HBO.
Oh, man, I totally blanked on what I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to Lock and Key Grindhouse is coming out tomorrow.
Certainly.
One shot. When we had Joe Hill back on the show, he said this is the bloodiest issue of Lock and Key yet. And it's actually not going to be collected in anything until, I think, 2014 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to go in the Volume 5 collection or anything like that. So if you want to pick the, if you want to read the story, you got to pick up the issue tomorrow. So definitely get that. JK, what are you looking forward to?
There's Star Trek Doctor Who. It's coming out tomorrow.
Number four.
Yeah.
But seriously, the Ninja Turtle Classics Volume 2 is coming out, and I haven't actually read any of that stuff since high school. So it's kind of like reading it again, getting a second chance to read it for the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And plug some of your other stuff. What else should people check out?
Always Fallen Angel. You know, they're still out there. In fact, if you've never read Fallen Angel, it's some of Peter David's best work.
Yeah, it really is
great.
And you can pick it up digitally on Comixology for like 99 cents a piece. You can get the origin story, which is 1-5, the IDW stuff. I would definitely start there, and because if you haven't read it yet, you're missing out. That's some of his best stuff. I just all the old Star Trek stuff, and I got future stuff coming up, which I mentioned earlier. It's mostly digital stuff.
I'm going to be doing... We'll be doing some double feature stuff with Mike Norton, too.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Look forward to doing that.
Awesome. And you're wearing a Battle Pug t-shirt right now?
Battle Pug fan.
Yeah, there you go. All right, a couple of things before we go. First, do you guys mind if I plug my thing?
This is going to be good.
Yeah. Okay, so just very quickly, I'm doing a Kickstarter for an all-ages comic that I'm writing called Detective Honey Bear.
What is this Kickstarter?
Oh, you love Kickstarter.
This is new hot stuff, right?
Yeah, it's new hot stuff. Anyway, we're looking for a little bit of money to do a small print run of this comic. It's with a great artist named Josh Kenfield. You can check it out at detectivehoneybear.com or on Kickstarter, and any help spreading the word or anything like that would be great. We have some awesome prizes. One thing that we just talked about that I haven't put up there yet, but I'll probably be doing tomorrow, is we're going to make one of the rewards a chance to be a guest on this show.
Ooh, that's a reward.
What do you think we should set it at? Like $1 million? $2 million? What do you think? What do you think it's worth?
No one would pay
that. Oh, I thought we were paying them.
Yeah.
There you go.
My bad.
If you want to be a guest on the show.
I'll pay you anything to get off this stage.
Slam!
Couple of other things before we go. We're going to have a great show next week. On the show, we are going to have Tom Brevoort and Nick Lowe are going to be here, both editors for Marvel Comics. They're going to talk about all the changes happening with Marvel now. They're basically switching writers is what's going on. Brian Bendis, who is writing Avengers, is going over to the X office. X writers are going over to the Avengers office.
Yeah.
So it should be a cool, interesting show.
Like Swingers.
Yeah, it'll be just like Swingers.
Not the movie.
Oh,
the lowercase.
What we're going to do is we're going to ask Tom and Nick to drop their keys in a pot, top of the show, so they're going home with somebody. Pete, what else should we plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check out our website, comicbookclublive.com. Also, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank JK for being on the show. And for donating all that awesome art. We want to thank Booth Man. We want to thank Fontanas and everybody at Nerdist. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night, absolutely free. Please tell your friends. Night.
Thank you, guys.